keep this brief, but I'm your grateful speaker getter. This is the first night of my series, and I wanted to lead really strongly with this next 6 month series. So I got Luis and Carla Joe to speak as a couple. So you guys are in for a treat, a big treat. And I would like to introduce. Carla Joe.
Now I feel better. Thank you. No. Oh my God, I just had to get that off my chest. My name is CJ, for the sake of anonymity. I'm so grateful to be here. This is so awesome. I don't even know what to, I'm like, what? This is crazy. Okay. Sorry, I'm like, I was having nightmares earlier this week that the meeting was at Willie's house and there was a flood and it was my fault. Like, you know, just telling you, I belong here. I was like, I really have. Oh, God. I am a super grateful member of Al-Anon. And it's such an honor to be asked to speak at this meeting. And I was gonna say, like, I have this terror, like I really do have a terror of being recorded when I'm speaking. Because I'm like, you know, I reserve the right to change my mind tomorrow. So whatever I say today might be a total crock of whatever tomorrow. I might be like, I said that. Oh my God, no. You know, I don't think that at all. You know, because and that's the beauty of Al-Anon is I get to change my mind. And I get to change my mind all the time. And I get to grow up and get a new perspective every single day. It's so awesome. And that is such a freedom that I never used to have. And I'm going through something right now where someone's wanting me to make a decision on something. And I can tell you, it's not going to happen right now because I am not ready. And I will make the decision when I make the decision. I like warn car salesmen when I go on the car lots. I'm like, I'm not buying anything today. Just letting you know, I'm looking. So don't waste I don't want to waste your time. I'm just letting you know, I need to sleep on things and think about them. And I know that some people might be like, what the heck does that have to do with Al-Anon? And it has everything to do with Al-Anon for me. Because when I came here, I didn't know I had a right to make a decision. I didn't know I had a right to do things on my time and not on everybody else's time. Because my life had become just, there were just things in place that made what I was going through be quite invisible. And so it was like there were other major events and fanfare and things happening all the time, and it was like I was just lost and invisible. And I have to say, like, that's what I'm recovering from today and on a daily basis, is I'm recovering from being invisible. And there are a lot of people who know me who would say, no way, because I can be very gregarious and outgoing and I love people, but I can love people too much to the extent that then I don't matter and then I'm gone and then I want to self-destruct and I will try anything to get out of this world and being and feeling, because it's so painful. It's so hard it has been in the past. It's not so like that now, but it was impossible to make a decision that was for my own personal benefit. It was always about, what do you want? And I have to be really careful, because even in recovery, I can take our language of recovery and turn it and twist it to be like, well, you know, it's just another, like, I was having an awesome conversation with a sponsee the other day, and she's like, well, you know, maybe this is like some character building and suffering. And I was like, oh no, girl, you do not need to suffer. I was like, no, I do not need any more character building and suffering. I'm just going to say that right now. I do not. I don't. And I'm really grateful. Like, I don't need that, you know? And suffering is going to happen. It will continue to happen in life and in my life. But I definitely don't need more, you know? And then, like, I was telling her my story, and it's been so long since I shared my, like, story of my, let's say, just like my youth. And I shared it with her, and I was like, dang, I really don't need it. Like, I don't need, like, for 10 lifetimes, I don't need more suffering. And so it was awesome. I mean, that's like kind of the benefit of getting to share your story, is you get, you know, especially, you know, for me, it's nice to be quiet for a while and not talk. And then it's like, oh, and then I get space between the last time I told it and now, and I get to see the growth and the change, and that, like, you know, I'm not defined by my story anymore either, which is like, that's crazy. Because when I came here, it was like, I just wanted you to know what happened. Didn't you know, don't you know what they did? And part of that was because one of the people that you could say, like, helped me become qualified for Al-Anon, they denied everything that happened. But guess what? When you're in a blackout and you don't remember it, you're in a blackout and you don't remember it. You know, I used to make it like, it was like, they were doing that to me. And it wasn't until many, 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 many years later that I realized that it had nothing to do with me at all. And that I didn't need them to validate my experience. But boy, oh boy, I mean, how hard is that, right? When you're maybe raised in an environment where your experience is being denied. And in my case, actually, that particular person also had a medical condition where they wouldn't remember what happened. So for me, it was just really hard, because it was not only denied, it just wasn't remembered anyway, right? And then there were a lot of things that happened that weren't witnessed. So then that was tough. And I'm just talking, like, you know, crazy, crazy, crazy episodes that, like, I was the only one present to witness. And then it was like, well, that didn't really happen. And so anyway, blah, 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 blah. It's actually not that important at this moment, other than that I just share with you that, like, if you're feeling that way, you're not alone. You know, welcome. And there's a way to come into your own respecting your own self-honesty. So that's great. That's the good news. That's really good news, is I don't have to deny it anymore. I don't have to be complicit in writing this, you know, somebody else's story. I can just stick to my own and just go from there and not worry about what anybody else has to say about it or think about it or whatever. Because we're also, like, my brother and I grew up in the same house, and although we have many, many, many shared experiences, we also have very different experiences. And that's just human life. You know, we all have different perspectives. And that's why, like, it just doesn't matter anymore to me. Like, so much stuff doesn't matter anymore, because I just realize, like, I have my own experience. Somebody else has their own experience. It doesn't matter. Like, that we don't need to debate about it. It's like, mine is mine, yours is yours. Cool. Awesome. I like your pink shoes, you know, green shoes, whatever. Some of you know that like 2 years ago, today, tomorrow, whatever, I contracted a very life-threatening illness and almost died and suffered pretty severe brain damage from that illness. So I kind of jump around when I share. and I have to write like little notes sometimes to like just go, okay, like get grounded again. Where are you? What are you doing? Here I am. That's crazy. And I'm talking in complete sentences, and that's a miracle. But anyway, one of the things about that I will say that that I got to speak about, you know, in the last year was that one of the greatest gifts of that experience was that for this Al-Anon, it was such what a miraculous experience to go through, because I had zero control of anything in my life whatsoever. It was gone. And I was in a hospital room. I was in a, what are those, the confinement, what is it? Isolation unit. Because they didn't know what was wrong with me, and it was really, really bad. So like people, at one point when people were coming to visit, they were having to wear the hazmat suits and like the whole thing. I was like, this is freaky. And it was like just a totally freaky experience. But what was really, really, I have to say, I'm so grateful for, because all that was around me was benevolent people. And it was like, what a great experience for a pessimistic survivor Al-Anon. To have no, zero defenses, zero survival skills, and zero tactical abilities, and be completely carried, loved on, and nursed back to health from death. And it changed my life. It changed my life. I'm a different human being today for it. And I'm so grateful for the things that were shed. And I'm so grateful for my other friends. You know, I've found friends in Al-Anon. We've gone through the same thing. And we've walked the road together. And we share those jokes, that brain damage jokes, you know. Oh my gosh. And I'm like already like, you know, yes, I'm an Al-Anon, but I'm also like a type A Mensa, like a get it done kind of person. So it's been like a whole new, I've had to surrender completely. So I'm really excited about that. And like one of the greatest things too is I get to delegate things today, which I never, you know, I just couldn't do. Yeah. And I still delegate meticulously, and but I can delegate today, and it's fun. I'm getting to enjoy life more. I learned that there were all these beautiful people in the world, like, you know, I just say, like, you know, people who were holding my hair when I was throwing up because I was deathly allergic to the only medicine that was going to save my life, and things like that, you know, and who were just like, oh, it's okay, honey, it's okay, and I'm like, I'm sorry, you know, the Alan, I'm sorry, I'm throwing up in the isolation unit, you know, and they're just like, it's okay, sweetie, and I was just like, you know, trying to, you know, still like I went through the phases of trying to control the situation, you know, I was like, you know, but it just didn't work out. So, how I got here, you know, how I got here, whatever. I came in, my sponsor had said that I should come to Al-Anon, and, I said, I don't understand why, and she said, well, just given your story, I think, you know, Al-Anon will be a really great thing for you. And I said, okay, so I went, and I thought it was all about them, and that if only they would be different, I would be okay. And it took a lot of time to learn that it has zero to do with anybody else. And only to do with me. And one of the greatest gifts that happened in, say, like the last 5 to 8 years has been I know 100% in my core now when I'm angry, when I'm upset, when I'm upset with what seems to be them, it is not them at all. It is, I am mad at myself for either like the self-will of like wanting to believe again, or the self, because it's self-will for me to go down that road, to not live in reality, for my experience anyway. And so what I learned was that it all came back to me. It all came back to me. And while that can be quite devastating information, because then the heap of trash that's at your feet is your own heap of trash, and then you have to sit and sort it out. The thing is that, but then also you're the one that has the control over sorting it out and getting better and not doing it again. And that is miraculous. Now, that being said, when I say like not doing it again, you know, like I feel like recovery is like, I feel like people with compulsive issues tend to, of any sort, Al-Anons included, for sure, just in the gossip factor alone, okay? I'm serious, you know, serious. Are like kryptonite for me. So I come to meetings and I try to be so diligent about being an active member of Al-Anon and actively participating in recovery every day, because those things are like kryptonite. Like, catch me in a bad moment when I'm tired or hungry, or my feelings are hurt, and then you want to talk crap about somebody. It's like, you know, it's just like, no, 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 you know, I'm just like, no, 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 no. Like, I'm not open for business. I can't be open for that business because I'm way too vulnerable in that moment. So it's like, I'm just getting to know myself better, to like, you know my vulnerabilities, know what they are, and then just do my best to shore those up, honestly. And fortunately, I have a sponsor who is extremely direct, very loving, but also very direct. And my sponsor has always said to me, you get 30 seconds to talk about them, and that is the cap. And I'm very grateful for that, because it gets me out of the them drunk. Because I know I've shared about it here before, like on anniversaries and stuff. My drunk, my particular Al-Anon drunk, is the drunk of self-righteous indignation. It's intoxicating. And it's hideous. It's really hideous. Can you believe? And you're done. Let me tell you the other thing they did. And it's like you might as well wave a banner of like, I'm crazy, because you know, it's really, I mean, for me, because it's just like, yes, I can believe what they did. They're sick, you know. Or it's like, yes, I can believe what they did. They're human. You know, and more that they're human, because we're all human. We do human, stupid things. You know, I mean, it's just, we do. All of us, whatever. I mean, maybe, okay, I can't speak for everybody else. I do, for sure. You know, a lot. And so anyway, it's just like, so who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Like, that's where I am now. It's just like, who cares? It doesn't matter. It's like, it doesn't matter. What matters? It's like, I don't know what I'm doing about my life, what I'm doing about my own problems. It just has nothing to do with them. And I'm just so grateful for that freedom, because I'm like, I'm having a good time now in my life. I'm getting to have a good time. I'm getting like, so all that time, I mean, boy, oh boy, if you track your time, I track mine in 15-minute intervals from the minute I wake up until I go to bed, actually. I track my time. And if you track your time and you track how much time, for me, if I track how much time I spend talking about other people, it's like, that's why I tracked my time. It was like, what am I doing with my time? And it was like, ooh, no, life is too short. You know, just, and I mean, I know it's like I'm sounding kind of cute and stuff right now, but actually it's really true, and like true and serious. Like that I track my time, and the quality of my life is better now because of it. And I'm really, really grateful Because it's like, you know, it's like when we get here, it's like so much is like a mess and a disaster and ugh, you know, and it's just like, you know, it's terrible. It's like a war zone. And but then as we get here and we start to sift through all of it and, you know, sift through with a sponsor and the steps, what's mine and what's theirs, then we're left with like, okay, now we have that clarity. And then it's like, okay, now I can't talk about anybody else anymore. I just can't. Now, sometimes I will have a slip up and I'll call a friend in the program or call my sponsor. We'll reason it out and we will move on. But we're not harping on crap anymore. And but then what that does is it's just cleared out all this stuff so that we can have all that fun that it talks about in Al-Anon. You know, we get to have a life and hobbies and recreation and do all kinds of really cool things. So I'm really grateful for that life that I've been given. But it's been hard because the hardest part has been if I take that focus off of them, I am focusing on me and I am focusing on the heap that I created myself through my own self-will. And then it's like I gotta clean it up. And that can be pretty painful. There's a lot of regret. And I do have a lot of regret. I do. I'm not going to lie and be like, oh, I have no regrets now that I'm in Al-Anon. We're not going to have feelings. It's like, yes, I do. I have a lot of regrets. I have a lot of regrets. And thank God. Thank God, because they help me to not do the thing again. Ugh, so many regrets. So I get to stop in just a few moments, so that's awesome. I'm just like trying to like, what, is there anything else that I wanted to, I just have to look down at my paper because I'm a little out there, but, I'm really grateful for their freedom. I will say, when I came here, my relationship with my beautiful, beautiful and sad and greatly misunderstood father was, I couldn't be around him because it wasn't safe for either of us. And today, by the grace of God and my loving partner, I'd fly home to be at his bedside as often as humanly possible. And I get to help with my brother, be an advocate for his care and the humane treatment of him as he goes through the stages of dementia that he's in right now. And he can dish out some SOB stuff. But so can I. And he can dish out some pretty, pretty scary stuff sometimes. But I also don't know what it's like to be him. What I know is that it doesn't, again, how important is it really? At the end of the day, I have my own dignity, so I don't have to worry about it at all. I can still show up. And you guys have given all of that to me and exponentially more. I could share with you countless gifts of Al-Anon on in any given moment of the day. And I'm so grateful. I love you guys so much. We have our, Ernie was asking me how I felt and stuff, and I was like, you know, the thing that is so neat is like, it's kind of like we're having the gratitude breakfast here on steroids, because we have a Thanksgiving, Luis and I have a Thanksgiving gratitude breakfast at our house, and I will say this and sit down. We started that because I wanted, I wanted to have a family Thanksgiving that was our own. And we spent time with our other family members. And I had sponsees that didn't have anything to do on Thanksgiving, and people were complaining about holidays and blah, 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 and families. And I was like, yeah, but you know what? What's the solution? Like, I mean, like, okay, we could complain forever, but what if we didn't do that? What would we do? And I was like, oh, we'd have a meeting at our house. And it started at our house with one sponsee and her freaking pumpkin pie. And she brought a pumpkin pie that she made, and we sat and we read literature. And now we have like 50 people every year, a minimum of like 50 people come through. Who can, whoever can, whoever can't, they can't, and it's all good. But it's open for everybody here, and people who come can come. And it went from one person to 50, and in that time also, it's not our meeting anymore at all. It's not even, I don't even have to be there. And that's an awesome thing for an Al-Anon, right? To be like, I don't even have to be there. Hey, woo-hoo! So it's neat, and I'm real excited. Yeah, I'm real excited to get to let go of so much today, you know. And I love you guys. And you have an awesome guy getting ready to come up and talk to you about his experience in Al-Anon and what it was like for him. And thank you so much.
Luis. Now you know what it's like, Chris. That's right. Thank you, Jim, for asking us to speak here tonight. Thank you, Carla Jo, for being Carla Jo, and for putting up with my crazy stuff, which you're about to hear more about. So, I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon, have been for a while. Have been a member for a while, have been grateful a little bit less time than that. A member of this group for about that long. And this group, I can't say enough about this group. So I'll just say that it's changed my life, and it's given me the life that I have today. I'm gonna be 45 in a few weeks, and I still feel like a little scared kid most days. From the time that I wake up and throughout big chunks of the day, and I feel like I'm just pretending to be a grown-up. And if they only knew, if they only knew. But then I come here and I get to find out that maybe other people feel the same way too, and maybe they're older than me. And I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know if that should give me hope or make me really depressed. I don't know. The jury's out on that. Anyway, at least I'm not alone in it, and I guess that's the important part. Last week, I was talking to one of the dudes from here. He's like, hey man, I'm excited to hear you speak next week. And me being a smartass, I said, oh yeah, I've been practicing. Thinking, oh, we're gonna share a cute moment of like, isn't it funny how people think you have to prepare to do this? And he said, oh good, that's what I do when I speak. It's like, what? So, of course, then I was terrified because here's this person who I deeply admire and respect, who I've known for a long time in this group, telling me that he actually prepares to do this stuff. And I hadn't done anything to him. I was like, what are you talking about, you know? But he made a really good point. He said that he likes to prepare and think about what he's going to say because he doesn't want to leave anything out. And I get that because this program has done so much for me that I want to tell you every little detail of it. I don't want to leave a single thing out. But I decided not to follow his lead and practice and write things down and whatever, because if I've learned one thing in the 14 years, whatever, that I've gotten this program, is that I have a little sock puppet that sits on my shoulder that's called my ego. And if I think about this stuff too much ahead of time, it's going to step in and it's gonna grab the steering wheel, and then instead of you getting the truth from me tonight, you're gonna be getting a bunch of shtick, right? And you guys deserve better than shtick. So it's better for me if I make it a point not to really think about what I'm gonna say too much ahead of time, And whatever spills out is what you're going to get. But it's going to be the truth. So I might leave some things out. I might jump around, whatever. But I hope to not lie to you. How's that? That's the promise I made to you. So you might be surprised to know that Carla Jo and I, even though we have a great relationship, we sometimes argue about things. We're not perfect. I'm certainly not. And she has said to me that I argue a lot, to which I usually reply, no, I don't. And she has said to me things like, you always have to have the last word, to which I always say, no, I don't. And my mom used to tell me when I was a kid, my mom used to say, you should be a lawyer because you like to argue so much. And I would say, no, I don't. But here's the thing, I do, because my self-esteem is the sort of house of cards that revolves around the idea of being right and being smart and knowing the answer. Because, you know, I was an awkward kid, whatever, last one to get picked, pocket protector, braces, glasses, the whole, you know, trifecta there. So the thing that I had going for me was that I was smart. I knew how to get good grades. I knew how to get the attaboy from parents and teachers. Not so much from my peers, because they saw what a nerd I was. But anyway, so I, you know, being right and having the answer was all I had, man. And I was going to hang on to that for dear life with everything I had. And that served me, I guess, for a while. You know, it got me through whatever, through the awkward years, which extended well into my 20s. Or 30s, depending on who you ask, I suppose. But what I've also learned here is that our coping mechanisms when we're young become our character defects as adults. All those things that I used to do just to survive or to manage my own unease with myself and my own skin no longer serve me, but they sure do get in the way of my happiness and of my life. You know, the way that my disease presents itself, and I do believe it's a disease. And by the way, if you're new to the newcomers, welcome. I hope you hear something tonight that makes you want to come back. And if you don't hear it from us, come back anyway, go to a different meeting, and hopefully you'll hear something that'll hit home. And to the birthday people, happy birthday. You know, it's a great thing to be able to look back, not stare, look back every once in a while and go, oh yeah, I don't do that anymore. Awesome. Or, you know, this is better or that's better. So I'm a big believer in celebrating birthdays for that reason, because my disease will tell me that you're never going to get this stuff. You're not getting better. Just tell the same. You're doomed, right? So I need to look back and go, shut up. Look, we're not doing that anymore, are we? until I do it again. And the disease goes, the sock puppet goes, see, I told you. So the bad news for the newcomers, I want to say, is, you know, the sock puppet doesn't go away. The good news is you get to, like, recognize it for what it is and take some of its power away by going, thanks, sock puppet. I don't need to hear it today. I've got other things I can keep myself busy with. So what my disease looks like, it's very insidious. It's a shapeshifter. One moment it tells me that I'm the best thing since sliced bread and everybody who's in my presence is lucky to have me. The next moment it tells me that I'm the worst piece of crap and that I don't even deserve the air that I breathe, right? And when I was new, I went back and forth between those two extremes, and that's how my disease tried to keep me out of these rooms, by telling me either, these people can't help you, you're way too sick, don't waste their time, or telling me, conversely, these people are crazy. You don't need to spend your time with these people on a Friday night in the best basement in Burbank somewhere. You got better things to do. And people will share about how they go to meetings every day, and I would think, well, that guy's really messed up. Thank God I'm fine with one meeting a week. I was not fine with one meeting a week. I have learned that you get out of this what you put into it. And you know, it's an ebb and flow. There are times when I go to more meetings than others. I'm not going to be a choir boy and tell you, you know, that I go to meetings 5 days a week or whatever, because I don't. But I know that if I need to, they're there. And that's a thing, that's a big shift for me, is I know that there's a lifeline. Whereas before, I thought I was the lifeline. I thought I was the lifeline, the boat, the water, the whole thing. And today I don't have to live that way. And so how did it happen to be that way? Well, so without getting to, you know, I don't have really time to tell you the gory details of my story. And my ego has decided that my story is not that interesting anyway. So lucky you, you don't get to hear all the gory details. But I will tell you that I came from a home that was affected by alcoholism. And the way that it showed up in my house is that I have one parent who is a rager, very unpredictable, explosive anger, and another parent who is sort of a doormat, who would make sure that everything was right or good for the other one. And so what I learned living in that dynamic was that I learned, you know, it's funny because I always focused on the rager in my house being my qualifier because of all the fear that I experienced and all the things that I did to manage that fear by making myself invisible, by making myself super student so I would never have to be home or things like that, or just really get those attaboys that I so desperately needed. But it was only in the last few years that I learned that the other parent, the doormat, affected me and shaped my disease just as much by teaching me to take crumbs, basically, from the table of life, if you will. Because that parent would be so worried about pleasing the other one that they never took care of their own needs. And I picked that up along the way, you know. I was raised in a Catholic family, 12 years of Catholic school, survivor here. And I wore that shit like a badge of honor. I'm going to tell you, and pardon my French, I'm going to try that to be the last time I use a bad word tonight. Because I am Catholic. Sorry. There's a trickle of sweat running down my spine. Oh, crap. Where's the ruler? Anyway, recovering Catholic, but that's probably a different room. Anyway, I used to bend myself backwards trying to be perfect in every way, right? And it is exhausting to live that way. It is exhausting. And guess what? It's impossible. You always fall short. No matter what you do, someone somewhere will always be less than pleased with your performance, your actions, your words, your thoughts, whatever. And that perfectionism, that desperate need to be liked and loved by everyone around me was the thing that got me in here. Because I found myself in a situation, like Carla Jo mentioned, where I had to make a decision for myself based solely on what was right for me, knowing that someone was going to be affected by that decision, who was not going to like it, and whose feelings were going to be hurt. And when I reached that sort of impasse in my life, my wiring completely short-circuited, because I had no idea how to move beyond that, and I became completely paralyzed, and I used every lousy trick in the book to try to think my way out of the situation, or hope it away, or whatever, and it landed me here in a heap 14 years ago. Not knowing which end was up. And when it was first suggested to me to come here, I said, why do I need to go to Al-Anon? I don't have alcoholic parents or an alcoholic sibling or anything like that. But I was in so much pain that I decided to follow that direction. And I followed the direction of the newcomers of trying 6 different meetings. And by the 4th meeting, I surrendered to the fact that even though the details of the stories I was hearing weren't my story, the feelings that were being expressed definitely hit home. And so I decided to stick around. And I don't regret that for a minute, by the way. It's been quite a journey. There have been many layers to peel from this onion. And I have had the opportunity the biggest gift I've gotten is I've been given the gift of being able to live with an open heart, in the sense that I can feel things today a lot more openly and deeply than I could before, because before I was afraid that my feelings were going to kill me, or that they weren't important and I shouldn't have them. So today I can cry at stupid stuff, And I'm not being embarrassed about it. I can hardly look at Facebook without crying about something. But somebody, you know, sometimes it's a cat or whatever. Seriously. We don't make tough men in this room, but we do make, you know, feeling men, for better or worse. But it's true, you know. I've learned that, and I've heard you say this, but that it's, you know, it's okay to live with your heart in your sleeve, because even if you do get hurt, it's okay. You're living life more fully that way, and it's all right. Your feelings are just that. That's the thing. I got to learn that my feelings were just that. They're just feelings. They're not people. They don't pay rent. They don't, you know, go through the fridge. They're just feelings. They're just these things that sit there, and they're very real. And if left unchecked, they cause me to have thoughts that then cause me to act in ways that I have to make amends for, right? So it's very important to acknowledge those feelings, because to the extent that I acknowledge them and I can identify them, they lose their power to make me do stupid stuff, right? You know, a friend who's been a longtime member of this group, he's not here tonight, but who I deeply respect, I've heard him say many times that every bad decision he's ever made was a result of trying to manage his discomfort about something. And man, when I heard him say that, I was like, oh, yeah. Because I'll do really stupid things to try to manage my discomfort. I was doing it today. 14 years in, so by the way, you don't, like I said, it doesn't go away. It just sits there quietly waiting for a moment to strike. Yes, see you. Anyway. So what I've learned as a result of sticking around here and working these steps slowly and painfully, first of all, I had to give that up, the perfectionism, because I wasn't being graded here. I wasn't going to get an A for turning in my steps or my inventory. Nobody was going to say, hey, gold star, awesome. And I had to learn to be one of the herd. I wasn't going to be the top student in Al-Anon, you know. And I had to be okay with that. So I've muddled my way through the steps very slowly and imperfectly with multiple sponsors. Because sometimes it takes a village, people, I'm here to tell you. So one of the things I learned by that process was that all these defects of character that I've identified were at one time character assets that sort of lost their way, they lost their proportion, they lost their size. They're no longer right size, and they're no longer serving me. Sort of like those coping skills I was talking about earlier. And so that was a nice relief to hear, you know, that all these things that I thought were these horrible, dark things about me were essentially good things that just got a little on steroids, if you will. The other thing that I've learned that was huge for me was that I don't have to do any of this by myself. Nothing. There's not a... I mean, yes, I'm the one that has to walk through the thing, but I don't have to do it by myself. I can call somebody. And if that person's not available, I can call someone else. And if I didn't like what that person said, I can call someone else. Maybe I'll hear what I want to hear. No, don't do that. But more importantly, I have a higher power, which I didn't recognize before. You know, having grown up in the religion that I was raised in, I always had a concept of God, and I even thought of him as a benevolent God. I just didn't trust him. I didn't know that if I just let go of the steering wheel, that whatever he was going to have me do was going to be something I was going to agree with or like. So I thought, I'm just going to thank you, but I got it, all right, I'll let you know if I need anything. And today I know that whenever I do that, you know, my life goes down the tubes real, real bad. And so I have, you know, so I have to start my day every day turning everything over. There's a prayer in another book that's big and it's blue that we're not supposed to talk about in here, that I have to say every day, because that is the only way that I can, one moment at a time, remember that I am not in charge. I am not driving the bus. If I was driving the bus, we would have gone off a cliff a long time ago. But I will try to take the wheel back, you know, constantly, and especially when I'm afraid. You know, fear activates the rest of the character defect machine that is Luis. And so when that fear comes up, I have to remember that fear is a feeling, right? It's not a reality. All these things, you know, poor Willie, I call him sometimes, like, Willie, the wheels are really coming off this time. And he'll very quietly and gently remind me that, you know, I think we've had this conversation before. And the wheels, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the wheels are still on, right? Yeah. Okay, then you're probably going to be okay, right? Yeah, okay. Okay. And it is. It is okay. I mean, you know, I cannot tell you how much gratitude I have for the power, you know, and if you're someone who, not to give advice, but if you're someone who struggles with the idea of God or a higher power, I've learned that you can make the room the higher power. You can make the people in the room your higher power. If because it is truly that, you know. I can't do any of this stuff for myself, but I can look around this room and go, oh yeah, I saw him walk through that. Oof, he went through a rough patch there. Oh yeah, I remember when that happened. Okay, they can do it. And I'd love them through it. Maybe they can love me through whatever I'm going through, you know, and we get through it okay together, you know. Gratitude has become a huge tool for me. A bunch of us in this room, and in other rooms, we exchange gratitude lists every morning that we email to each other. And I have to tell myself, recently I've been doing a lot more gratitude reading than writing, you know. And I was at a meeting the other night where someone was talking about gratitude and how important it was, and how most of the time when they decided to write a gratitude list, they really didn't want to do it. And they had to sort of fake it. And I was like, oh, right, it's not about really feeling the gratitude, it's about writing the gratitude list, so then you can feel the gratitude, you know. For me, anyway, that's how it is, because I need to be reminded how great my life is, which is... No, hopefully someday I won't have to be reminded how great. She tells me all the time when I'm freaking out, you have a good life, shut up. What? Oh yeah, you're right, 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 it's great, yeah. It's true, because, you know, I got this brain that always wants to, but it's not blah, blah, blah. No, it's not blah, blah, blah. It's this other thing that's amazing, that's beyond anything I ever could have imagined for myself, you know? It's profoundly good. Even though that doesn't sound very profound. My life is profoundly good. You know, when I stop at any given second and I take myself out of my own insane thinking and I look at it, I go, oh yeah, this guy's got a good life. I mean, I've got love, I've got abundance, got more animals than you can count, all of which love me, I think. You hear that? Or they just like their food. I want to think it's a little bit of both. Mostly love, but it's probably mostly food. But I love them, and they make my life rich. And I wouldn't have that if things had gone the way I planned it, you know? Whatever that is, you know? So, what time do I have? Am I there?
Oh,
we
got 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Make it count.
Make it count. No pressure. Thanks, Jeremy. Listen, here's what can I tell you in 3 minutes? No one ever promised me that coming in these rooms was going to fix every problem I had and make my life perfect. And thank God, because, you know, like I said, my life is amazing, but it's not without problems. What is dramatically different from before is that today I have tools to deal with these problems that are healthy. You know, people talk about, like, I used to have only one tool and it was a hammer. Yeah, okay, that's true. That was me too, except maybe it wasn't a hammer, maybe it was a book, I don't know, really thick book. Today it's a lot more nuanced than that. I know that every situation calls for different tools, and I've got them. That's the good news, is I got those tools. To the extent that I choose to pick them up, my life gets even better, and I get through these difficult things, you know, one thing at a time, you know. And so, because of you guys, I have a life, I have this amazing woman in my life. We get to trudge this road together with all its adventures. And I get to have you guys in my life, and I get to see you guys go through amazingly challenging things and walk through them with so much grace and so much dignity. And you guys are all my heroes, ladies, too, because it's not just about the men in here, it's about the women, too. This is a family disease, and this is a family, Al-Anon family groups. So I'm very grateful to you all for my life today, and thanks for letting me share. Let's thank our speakers again.